Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
A shot, runs into the box, shot,
score! It's time for Atlanta Soccer Tonight.
Tune in as Jason Longshore gives you insight and analysis on the beautiful game, including headlines from around the world of soccer.
Rebound, score!
This is Atlanta Soccer Tonight, brought to you by your local Ford dealer and Firehouse Subs. Enjoy more subs, save more lives.
Atlanta Soccer Tonight is on Sports Radio 92.9, The Game. Here's Jason Longshore.
Let's kick it. Atlanta Soccer Tonight is live on 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app. I'm Jason Longshore. Welcome to our weekly show. We talk soccer all over Atlanta, Georgia, Southeast, the United States, the Western Hemisphere, the entire planet. It's what we do. It's Atlanta Soccer Tonight. It's a global game. And it's an interesting time in the global game with the UEFA Champions League underway. We're into deep knockout round stages of the Copa Libertadores in South America. You've got the African Champions League in their qualifying process, the Asian Champions League in the beginning of their stage, their group stage. So lots of different things happening. You've got the stories happening out of Manchester with Manchester United being just a complete and utter mess these days. Financial numbers are going to come out tomorrow, and there's a chance that they are bleak. We'll have to see how that one goes. All kinds of stuff to talk about, but we're going to kind of separate things out a little bit here tonight on AST. First segment, we're going to talk about Atlanta and soccer in the United States. Second segment, we're going to get caught up on the Champions League, what we saw today, what we will see the rest of the week with 18 matches in the first match day of the league phase. Tomorrow is a doozy, by the way. You might want to call out for the afternoon if you can do that. And then the 3-4-3 to wrap things up, where we'll get caught up on all kinds of other different things. But let's start on the domestic front. Saturday night was probably the craziest game I have ever called or seen. I mean, there's big games like the last World Cup final that was insane, back and forth. The 1986 World Cup final, one of my all-time favorite matches. Again, back and forth, Argentina took a 2-0 lead. They conceded twice, end up scoring a third. I've called a 5-4 game. I actually forgot about this when we were talking about it right after the final whistle. Called a 5-4 game in 2024, Gainesville and Johnson in high school. That was definitely one of the craziest games I've ever called. But that was a back-and-forth game, too. I don't think anybody had a lead of more than two goals. I don't even know if anybody had a two-goal lead in that game. I've never called a game where one team starts out with five goals in 40 minutes. And the other team is awful in that 40 minutes. Just bad soccer, bad quality, shell-shocked, bad decision-making defensively, and everything is falling apart in front of you. To then see the team that looked that bad score four goals and make a game of it and come up short, eventually running out of time. You can't concede five goals and expect to win. If you conceded four, you could have expected to draw. That's what's crazy about this game between Columbus and Atlanta United. It's one of those games that, you know, I said it afterwards. We knew the situation for the last while here when it comes to Atlanta United. They were not going to make the playoffs this season. Now they are officially eliminated with that loss. I feel like I said it a lot after the scoreless draw with Toronto at home. And even at that point, it was pretty obvious that Atlanta United was not going to make the playoffs. That was a while back. Pretty obvious it wasn't going to happen. And I said my frustration with that game specifically was that there was very little to be inspired by. At a minimum, you want to see your team go down swinging. Well, it didn't look like Atlanta United was going to go down swinging in Saturday night's match. It didn't look that way. Jamal Traoré kind of jump-started the swinging, earning a penalty. It's converted by Miguel Almiron. Jamal got a couple goals of his own. Pedro Amador got a goal to start the second half, and Atlanta United definitely went down swinging. And you have to give them respect for that. You can be upset about the five goals allowed, but you have to give respect for not having what happened to Philadelphia happen, where they lost 7-0 on the road, sure, not at home, but on the road in Vancouver, and now Philadelphia has just been knocked out of the Lamar Hunt U.S. Open Cup. First time in club history that Nashville gets to the Open Cup final. They've been to a Leagues Cup final before where they lost to Miami a couple of years ago. But Philadelphia gave up two goals to Nashville and then did find one. It was a great effort from Quinn Sullivan, who probably should have started. And then Philadelphia wasn't able to find another one. Nashville completed the hat trick with Sam Surridge, and they get knocked out. Philadelphia has been one of the best teams in the league this year. They lost 7-0 on Saturday night in Vancouver to another one of the best teams in the league. It can happen. It shouldn't happen. It can happen. What you have to take out of the Saturday night match is that it didn't continue. The team never rolled over. And I know I said this in the first half. There were chances for Atlanta before Columbus started scoring goals. There were chances that continued. I believe even at least early in the second half, maybe after Amador's header, Atlanta United had the XG advantage against Columbus in that match, even though they were down 5-2 at that point. XG is what it is. But I think what it showed you is that the team had not stopped playing. Had they defended very badly? Absolutely they had. I mean, as bad as I've ever seen. But had they quit? I get very frustrated when narratives get started about a team that plays badly that they quit. Those are two completely and utterly different things. Saying a professional whose pride and life is wrapped up in not quitting, saying that they quit, that's incredibly disrespectful. And I know it's an easy stock thing to throw out there when you don't like a result. I know it happens. People do it. Think twice before you do, because it is very, very rarely accurate. And I think this is the kind of game that shows you that. Atlanta was awful in the first half. There's no way around it. But awful doesn't mean players quit on the team or the fans. That's not what it means. So this is the kind of game that shows you that. This is the kind of game that, at a minimum, like I said after the Toronto scoreless draw, which got you a point in the standings, this one doesn't get you anything. You want to leave a match and either be entertained, be happy about your team winning, be entertained by the way that they played, be entertained by the fight, the goals, the chaos. You want to leave the match with some kind of positive feeling. And I think you could do that Saturday night because of the way the team fought and got back into the game and could have gotten a result out of it. That's what was so crazy about it. Columbus was panicking at the end. If there had been more time, maybe Atlanta finds a goal. It's one of those games that I don't think I'll ever forget. And I kind of hope that second half, and look, we might not know until some point next season. I hope that second half is a little bit of a, I don't know, call to arms, start of something. I'm not quite sure how to describe being 5-0 down and cutting it back to 5-4 and that being a starting point for what a team can become.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns.
And yeah. You're seeing exactly you know what why people it's not, outside of Cleveland you know, think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
But I think that's what could happen here. I do. I think this is a team that maybe figured out, one, we can score goals on anybody. Two, we have to be better defensively to make those goals matter. I think that's going to have an effect on this group. Now, again, we might not see this until next year because facts are the rest of the games don't matter. They do for individuals. They don't for getting to the playoffs. And I want to see which individuals take advantage of the games that they have left. I think there were individuals who played very poorly in the first 45, and that could be an underline to what their likelihood is of coming back next season. I think you're going to have some difficult decisions. And it's not purely tied in just getting rid of people. I don't want it to come off that way. I don't think that's what the conversation is at this point. If you want to get better, and this roster for Atlanta United needs to get better in some positions. I think to be what we all hoped it would be this year, to be what this club aspires to be, there are positions where upgrades are needed. But in a salary cap league, to get better, you're going to have to manipulate the salary cap. And that might mean getting rid of players in some positions to get better in others. That might mean going with depth that is younger or homegrown in some positions to be able to spend more in other parts of the field. And that's what I think is going to be this balancing act that Chris Henderson and the club have to do going forward, because you've got roster decisions to make on players who are going into option years. You've got potential trade possibilities around the league. And then you've got your scouting department looking for players in every position on the field that can make your team better at various price points. So it's going to be a fascinating time between now and, I mean, opening day next year. I would say the beginning of training camp. I mean, there's so many different little milestones along the way that I'm wondering, when we look back at it, what comes out of this match where Atlanta had some very bad performances that could be the precursor to moves in the offseason, but followed up a very bad team defensive performance with a very good team offensive performance and a fight and a grit and a battle that you want to see out of your team no matter what. And I think some players maybe elevated themselves in the pecking order because of how they performed in the second half. So it's going to be a fascinating next few games. It will not be anything that we've experienced with Atlanta United before. To have five games left, three on the road, two at home, that do not affect the playoff race. We've never been in this situation before in Atlanta. It hasn't happened with this team. So what does it look like in the first 15 minutes against San Diego? Is it free? Is it wide open? Probably not, because you have to be better defensively than you were in this past one. San Diego is going to be high energy, very high pressing. They have a very distinct style under Mikey Varis. I'm excited to see that. I think it could set up for a very entertaining game, especially against a team in Atlanta that, you know, can get into a track meet and not have to worry about grinding out a result in this one. Do they have the openness to do that? Does Ronnie Dyla want to set them up to do that? and play straight up with a team like San Diego. That can hurt you if you play straight up with them. Columbus did that. They hurt you. They did. Your wingers didn't defend in the first half, and Columbus took advantage. They created overloads. They created mismatches. Changes had to be made. They were, and it was better after that. San Diego is going to be an interesting match on Saturday. Don't forget as well, it is an earlier kickoff. It's a 4:40 kickoff. Pre-game coverage will start at 3:30 here on 92.9 The Game in the Odyssey app. A couple other things in the domestic front before we go to break. Miami, they got their revenge, kind of meaningless, on Seattle in league play, not in the League's Cup final. 3-1 win tonight. Lionel Messi assisted Jordi Alba in the 12th minute. Jordi Alba assisted Lionel Messi in the 41st minute. Ian Frey scored in the 52nd. Seattle got one back from Obed Vargas in the 69th. But a 3-1 win for Miami in that one. And probably the biggest news of the week is Caleb Porter being fired in New England and some articles coming out from independent New England soccer journalists talking about Caleb Porter was not very well liked in that locker room, it sounds like. Mostly anonymous players saying things. Maxi Urruti, who was let go, waived in mid-August. He has said a little bit publicly, I think he's made it clear that he's kind of enjoyed the misfortune of the New England Revolution after he was let go. Luis Diaz pushed back on some things that were said after he was let go as well. He was waived. It wasn't very good for Caleb Porter in New England. It never got better. There were reports earlier in the season of him getting into it with New England Revolution 2 manager Richie Williams, who, if you remember, Caleb Porter took over from Richie Williams when he was the interim, who took over after Bruce Arena was let go. And we don't know why Bruce Arena was let go in 2015 in New England. But that club has never been the same since. And now they get a chance to have a fresh start. There's reports from Tom Bogert at Give Me Sport that they have talked to Jim Curtin, formerly of the Philadelphia Union, to potentially take over. Will be very interesting if that's the case, because Caleb Porter soccer and Jim Curtin soccer, pretty different. So it might take a while for Jim Curtin to get the team that he wants to have. But there's something not right with that club, because once Bruce Arena was pushed out the door, they have been a bad team, and they were a very good team before he was pushed out the door. I mean, the week before he was pushed out the door, they were a very good team. I don't know. We'll see. We'll see what the Revs end up doing. One segment down, second segment coming up. It's Champions League. Back on the field in Europe. We had some wild things happen today all over Europe. We're going to talk about that. We'll preview the rest of the week in the UEFA Champions League. Coming up next on Atlanta Soccer Tonight on 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns.
And yeah. You're seeing exactly you know what why people it's not, outside of Cleveland you know, think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know why fans. It's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.